Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning. Good morning, Matthew. Matt and I are going to entertain you for the next 2 hours on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're going to kick off...
Entertain is a very strong word.
Well, you know, entertain is assuming that we're going to be entertaining, and we will. I got entertained more in the last hour just talking to people online and talking to people on Twitter. And by the way, you can tweet me, and I'll have my computer is constantly on. You can tweet me at Bruce Hall Sports. That's at Bruce Hall Sports. Anytime you want, 24/7. I never sleep. Sleep is overrated. Although I do enjoy a nap. There's nothing better than a nap when you're exhausted in the middle of the day. I'll say this, like you people in New York, and everybody that listens to the show regularly knows, most of the time I do this show out of Maryland. Well, Maryland and Virginia got a foot to a foot and a half of snow this past week.
I had 2 feet of snow in my backyard.
That's what he said.
2 feet.
Well, Matt,
this isn't Alaska.
Yeah, it's not Alaska, but
we're in the South, man.
We had to time when I pulled in today with when Matthew's
wife,
wonderful wife and beautiful wife, Marcia, was leaving today because I had to take her space because, you know, nobody all the spaces aren't shoveled out in his they did. Looks like somebody came by and cleared the parking
tractor.
Lot, though.
We had a big tractor thing come through, and they couldn't even use the plows. They had to use a thing with a big shovel on the front.
Well, I had fun because my good friend Bob Wagoner, who is a like Roy, who's not here today, by the way. Everybody say hi to Roy. All right, that's it. You don't have to say hi to him anymore. He's not here. He was called out of town quickly to West Virginia. Sounds like a toothless problem to me. But anyway, make a long story short, I'll be in here today. We're not supposed to get any more snow, I don't think, until tonight.
Yeah, I don't believe anything anybody says anymore.
Well, New York's got, you know, New York, the coast, especially of New York, New Jersey, you know, New England, is getting hammered again, evidently. They're getting hit pretty hard. A lot of sleet more than anything else because it got real warm. It was 50 degrees the other day.
North Carolina got hit by this.
Well, they
North
got,
Carolina. Well, it the was, South.
It was the center of North Carolina, the Raleigh-Durham area, and people literally had to leave their cars. Now, you got to understand one thing. They're bumpkins, well, most of them. A lot of people have moved.
They haven't changed tires since 1973.
Well, they call it the Triangle area of North Carolina. It's Raleigh-Durham, Chapel Hill. Actually, Cary's probably as big a city as anywhere down there, but that's a big tech, high tech area. Yeah. And I got to tell you, a lot of those people are, you know, kids in their 30s and 40s. Yes, I call them kids in their 30s and 40s, and they've never driven in a foot of snow before. So what they did, listen to this, they get on the interstate and all the big roads, and there was a wreck, and everything was backed up. And there was literally no way anybody could get out. Now, you know, so they basically were told by the police, this is no lie, they were told by the police to park their cars and leave. Lock the doors, take all their valuables, and go home. That created a pretty intense situation. I wonder how many people...
Not very good crisis management skills.
Well, you know, it's North Carolina. Yeah. And I got to tell you, I love North Carolina because down there, no one's in a big hurry if they're from there. Now, you get a few people from New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Chicago, Ohio.
From Maryland that lives down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, Maryland.
Hello, Aunt Kathy,
and you get those people down there and they give the place a bad name all of a sudden. They did lose an election.
What are you saying about my aunt?
They lost a presidential election two elections ago, and then they reached back and took it back. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, North Carolina is an okay place to live now. My time in Virginia is numbered, though, and I can say that and be very confident that's true. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Today is, we're going to have Bruce Bochy on, my old Little League buddy, who is going to be on the air from 11:15 Eastern, where he's going to do a segment with me. They had 70 players at practice yesterday, even though they weren't required to be there. It was pitchers and catchers only till today, but that tells you, you know, the San Francisco Giants have won the major. They've won the World Series two out of the last 4 years.
Are there any restrictions of that you can't practice?
No, absolutely not.
So they can basically after the first the last it's, game
when
say,
pitchers and catchers
right, everybody
are due,
get your butt out here.
They have to basically they don't do much. They don't, you know, they're just getting their locker ready. They're getting their bats, you know, getting the pine tar on their bats. They're stretching. They're doing a little running. They may be hitting on their own. The coaches aren't throwing BP. The players are allowed to work out any time they want. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. But anyway, Bruce is going to be on at 11:15, and we're going to have some fun with him and talk about the Giants' chances this year. You know, this is the year because every other year they've won the World Series, and this is the year for them to do it. It's an even year, 2014. They won in 2010. They won in 2012. Last year they got hammered with injuries. Several key players were hurt. The Los Angeles Dodgers played out of their minds for 5/6 of the year, and then the Dodgers turned into the Dodgers and were out quickly in the playoffs.
So are you calling it this early in the
season?
No,
I'm not going to call it yet. No, I'm going to
You're not going to give us your
straight
cash only?
No, listen. No, this isn't straight cash only. Not yet.
World Series 2014.
You know what? When I get back, listen to me. When I get back from spring training, now I leave to go to spring training immediately after doing the show on Sunday the 16th, and then I come back. That's of March, by the way, not February. Mm. And then I come back the night of the 22nd. I'm going to be there 6 days, and I will be doing a lot of interviews. I'll be seeing a lot of general managers, a lot of managers, a lot of coaches, a lot of players. And then when I get back, we're going to break down everything. Because, you know, if there's one thing people like to hear from this show, they like to hear who I like in baseball, because I really don't miss much in baseball. Baseball is a little different handicapping-wise. And in baseball, all you have to do is pick a winner. There's no point spread, but there are odds. For example, if my team was playing Matt's team, and let's just say my team was very good and Matt's team pretty much sucked.
My team wouldn't know the rules.
My team wouldn't matter.
Run the wrong way on the bases.
Yeah, but your team would have to get to first base safely, which might be a problem
for
you.
They wouldn't understand why they can't kick that little itty-bitty ball.
But anyway, there's odds. You know, like you go even six, you have to play $60 to win $50. That's like the closest bet you're ever going to get, even six. That's what they call. The juice in baseball is normally about 20%, but it's always at least 10%. Sometimes when you've got a really good team, it could be as high as 10-13, 10-14, 11-14, 12-14. That means you got to play $120 to win $50. And that's how confident that Las Vegas is that that team's going to win that night. Now, when you play baseball, you can't just pick and choose. Some people won't play anything that's not at least, you know, 8-5, 80-50, or eight, you know what I'm saying? In my opinion, when you do that, you limit yourself.
Do you ever play just in like a series?
Well, yeah, you can play series, but those have the same type of odds. Have the same type of odds. And you know, when you pick a series, you're picking an ultimate winner of the series, but it still could be 7-5. It could be, you know, it could be 10-8. It could be pick six. You know, it could be a pick six.
So you can do like a spread on the series. Like they play seven games in a series, right?
Yeah, no, you can't do that. Yeah, they don't. Well, now listen, if you're in Las Vegas,
I'm giving them some ideas now.
No, if you're in Las Vegas, you can bet on anything. I mean, you can bet on whether they win in five, whether they win in six. In baseball,
the shoelaces are tied.
Well, no, that's not anything quite like the Super Bowl. Super Bowl had some pretty good stuff. We gave everybody the best play. That the homie in the Super Bowl was under a minute 20 seconds, I think, or 220. No, it was actually.
I remember my homie and I hit it. It was which one? The Red Hot Chili Peppers would be wearing their shirts, and I hit that. So thank you, or you're welcome, Las Vegas.
Oh, and we're gonna, when we get back, also we're gonna talk a little bit about Team USA hockey, about how this hockey team just played, in my opinion, maybe. I mean, I watched the game in 1980. Mm-hmm. You know, the Miracle on Ice. That was the first time. No one ever expected that team to even be able to stay within 5-6 goals of Russia, and we won. This team that we played basically went out almost dead even in the odds. And now, after what they did yesterday, this is a pick-six kind of game. You know, and hockey is very similar. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Well, Russia just scored. Kovalchuk just scored. And evidently, they took the lead in their game with Slovakia. Slovakia only has 5 million people in their country. Russia has something like 185 million people. And they were tied for 2.5 periods of hockey.
And 732 bears.
Well, they have more bears than that. But they have a lot fewer dogs because there was the big story.
They were apparently bringing them all over to America.
Well, you know what? Yeah. Well, you don't laugh. But, you know, we care a lot more about our dogs, evidently, than our homeless because... And I think that's wrong. I love dogs, don't get me wrong. But a dog is going
to
make out okay in the cold and when he's a little hungry. Homeless people, there's no excuse for it. Matter of fact, when it gets really, really cold up there, and make sure that you go with more than one person when you do this, because, you know, sometimes when you go into certain areas of the city, you know, the crime rate might be a little higher, so you need to be careful. But, you know, there's nothing worse than a cold person. And when it gets down to 0, 5, 10, 15 degrees, wind's blowing, you don't need all the coats that are sitting in your closet. Take them out and give them to some people that can use them. There's nothing worse than a wet. You know what? My fear is when I die, I have a dollar in my pocket and I haven't spent it on something to give somebody. You know, because I don't need it. I'm leaving this earth. I'm not going to need a penny where I'm going.
You're
going
to make me cry today.
Well,
you
know,
it's too early for me to do that.
Yeah, but you know what? It's easy to think about when you drive through the streets of a major city.
Yeah, especially the one we're near.
Yeah.
Two of the ones that we're near.
You know, and there's not enough shelters either. And I'll never figure that out because, you know, I don't even want to talk about it. It kind of bums me out. You know, the thing about it is, though, we're kind of hoping... I guess the United States played one of the greatest games I've ever seen. And I saw the entire game. And the thing I was most impressed with the hockey game, and by the way, call in the first hour of the show. Because you know, Roy's not here taking up all the airtime. We'd love to talk to somebody out in the Westchester, Rockland County, you know, Queens, Manhattan, Newark, wherever you call in from, Bergen County, New Jersey, one of my favorite places in the world. Allendale, AB&G, Allendale Bar and Grill. Give us a call at 240-317-7294. That's, mm-hmm. You know, and don't laugh because I thought when I sent out our number earlier today, and I went, oh my God, I hope that's right. For some reason, I thought 8 was on the end of it. I had to go back and look to see what our number was.
You've only been saying the same number for four and a half years?
Yeah, 3 years almost. 240-317-7294. Give us a call in. Tell us, you know, if you got a story to tell us about the hockey game, I think this hockey team, for a team that's only played together for a very short time. I mean, think about it. They quit playing hockey in the national. This is basically an NHL All-Star game is what it was between Russia and us. I mean, because almost all of those players play in the National Hockey League. And it's a very even game, as you notice, because it went to the 8th round of a shootout before TJ Oshie, baby. I'll tell you what, if he didn't have a girlfriend, he'd have had a lot of them last night.
Yeah, you think his door wasn't knocked on a few times in that Olympic Village?
I still haven't seen a picture of his girlfriend, but I've been told by certain sportscasters that she's a 10 on a 10 scale. So, and deservedly so. And he was very quick on NBC to agree with whoever was interviewing him that, oh, yes, I am off the market. So she must be a 10.
No, I think he got a text message was what it is.
What,
like, oh, yeah, I'm going to take a flight out there. I'll be there at some point, and I'm not going to tell you exactly what time. So
anyway,
I better not walk in on anything.
So anyway, it couldn't have gotten any closer than it was. And I got to tell you, extremely bad luck on behalf of the Russians, because one of the Russian defenders wasn't their center, it was their wing, hit a bullet, just a rocket, into the glove side, top of the net, hit the back of the net, came back out. It was a goal. A lot of people thought it might have been deflected, which evidently it doesn't make it a goal which I think is weird. In the NHL, it is a goal. But here was the rule. If the mooring came loose. Now, when the mooring came loose, if it had come loose after the shot, hit the back, went, you know, past the goal line, the goal would have counted. If the mooring came loose, when it did, it was no good. It was no good. And I couldn't understand what they were talking about, because we looked at the deflection and nobody, even NBC, said it wasn't deflected. The goalie acted like it did change direction, but it didn't. It was just hit so hard. And, you know, it took about 3 or 4 minutes, maybe 5 minutes, and they come back out and they wave it off. No goal. Now, I'm thinking, and of course, that's when all the stupid tweets came out. Not so stupid, maybe, if you live in Russia. Like, you know, Putin is, you know, already, these referees are done. They're gonna call their next game in Siberia, and they're gonna call like 50 games a day, but it's not gonna be hockey. It's gonna be get up and break this rock or something. And let me tell you something. I don't hate Putin. I don't even try to pass judgment on people from other countries, because Look at what Russia, the Soviet Union, has been forever. Joseph Stalin murdered millions of his own people. And, you know, he did what he had to do to survive and stay in power. It wasn't a democracy. You know, that was after the czars. You know, they killed all the czars. You know, a very similar, kind of like what happened in Cuba. In Cuba, they had a nice little thing going. You know, there was a lot of tourism. There was a lot of money changing hands. Fidel Castro and his group of rebels just decided, well, you know what? This isn't right. The people should have all the money, except for I'm going to have all the money and tell the people what they need to do. And to make a long story short, Cuba's still Cuba. Now, I can say that because it doesn't look like we're going to go on our baseball trip this year. But no, I'm not sure if we are or not. But the point I'm trying to make is I don't pass judgment on other countries. China, for example, who we owe trillions of dollars to, because they're being really nice to us because we're trying to help them into the 21st century, and we're doing a pretty good job of it. They're trying to do their part they're trying to do their part by being an economic partner with us. Basically, they make a lot of stuff, we buy a lot of stuff. They don't necessarily buy a lot of stuff from us, but anytime we need help monetarily, somehow or another, we borrow it from China. What I don't understand is, if China has so much money, and I understand they don't have that much in the bank, they only have about $17 trillion in the bank, or $7 trillion in the bank, but if they have that much money, why don't their people have more money? Oh, that's right, because there's 3 billion of them.
But also because they can manipulate their currency to be whatever they want it to be. They can say, oh, here's a dollar. It's $1,000.
Well,
here you go.
If you know, I don't think China has a hockey team. And if they do, they may have a hockey team, but they may not have qualified
to the Olympics.
Well, you know what?
They're taking the long route.
I'm Bruce. By the way, in case you're driving down the road and you have no idea who this is, I'm Bruce Hall. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You're listening to WFAS Radio, 1230 AM in Westchester. And we're going to have a lot of fun today. Bruce Bochy, the manager of the San Francisco Giants, and a friend of mine. We go back as far as Little League. We played on the same Little League All-Star team when Boch was 11, I was 12. And we've been friends ever since. And you know, some things never change. You know, the lucky ones get to play a game their entire lives. And that was Bochy. Some of us had to actually go out and get menial jobs along the way. I am finally in my heyday. I have a radio show, which I love. I'm not getting rich from it yet, hopefully. But I love it. I talk about sports. Boch gets to go out every day and live his dream.
I'm still trying to find a way to get paid to play Pac-Man.
Yeah, what's the deal, Matthew?
I get 50 cents every 2 weeks.
Well, no, you don't, Matt. I know that's a lie because you're my producer, and I know what I give you every week. Most weeks. We do a lot of trade, too. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're going to talk about probably next week. We're going to talk a lot about National League East, Major League Baseball, because that's the Mets, and I love what the Mets are doing. I love what Sandy Alderson's doing, and everybody's heard me talk about Sandy Alderson. You know, I'm not a big fan of his, but that's personal. That goes way back. And, you know, I'm one of these guys that can bury the hatchet. And he doesn't know me from Adam, so it doesn't matter. I just know him, period. And he's done a great job in the offseason. I mean, the Mets have got some things going this year. And they're going to win, I think, at least 10 more games this year. Possibly 15. Are the Mets going to be a wild card? Probably not. Because in my opinion, the West, and we're going to talk a little bit about the National League West second half of this show, is going to be, you know, the Giants, the Dodgers, and the Diamondbacks. The Colorado Rockies are even going to be a little bit better. But you know, like the NFL turned into a, you know, go West young man kind of year with San Francisco Giants and the Seattle Seahawks, basically being, they ended up being the two best teams ranked by most of the rankings that you saw out there. You know, Denver kind of played themselves out of the top two during the Super Bowl. They got squashed. They looked terrible. Their defense was not what we all thought it was, because the Seattle Seahawks pretty much destroyed them. And good for the Seahawks. Good for Pete Carroll. Not so good for Peyton Manning, but Peyton's going to come back next year. He'll probably win another 12, 13 games. They'll probably go deep in the playoffs. I can only hope they don't play the Seahawks again in the Super Bowl, because I think the same thing will happen, Matt.
After this past Super Bowl, you just kind of hope that he doesn't get embarrassed like that again.
It was. I'm going to tell
you. Unless they do a lot in the offseason, they're not a Super Bowl contender.
Well, what they proved is John Schneider, their general manager, who, you know, has been a lot of different places for a long, you know, for a long, I say a long time. He's 42 years old. I mean, he's a great kid, John Schneider. He was actually vice president of player development for the Washington Redskins when Marty Schottenheimer was the coach. And Marty was a phenomenal coach. And Snyder fired him and Schneider.
So that must mean he's a great coach.
He's
great,
well, yeah,
talented.
He just won a Super Bowl.
I know.
I mean, that, what does that tell you? Does that, I mean, that tells you that we are, I said we, I shouldn't say that. Redskins are doomed.
It explains why so many Redskins fans are day drinkers
well,
now.
There's more than that.
You remind us of that, and they're like, you know, noon's coming up. I might as well grab a six pack.
It's unbelievable. Hey, we'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230. Bruce Hall's Second Opinion in a minute.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Hello.
Hi.
And hello. Hi, Matt. Craig Kimbrell, the closer for the Atlanta Braves, as we were sitting here, just inked, at least it was just reported. I'm pretty sure this happened this morning. It either happened this, yeah, because it's 10:30. So they got up early this morning. They got together. They must have hammered out all of the details, you know, all the numbers on his contract before the end of the night last night. And they just said, you know what? let's get up, come in, have breakfast, and let's sign this deal. And Craig Kimbrell was asking. He was in an arbitration year. Now, the kid, he's not that old. I mean, Kimbrell's 25 years old. I mean, so he's only in his fourth or fifth year. So he's got one more year of arbitration. What they decided, I think, to do with Kimbrell is they were going to, rather than take a chance on him developing some bad blood over the course of the year, coming in and doing what he does, which is save every freaking game he comes into in the ninth inning. And Kimbrell has been known to be a Mariano Rivera-type closer and come in and work the end of the eighth and the ninth. Instead of having him go through the year and worry about the deal, he's in arbitration. He asked for $9 million. They countered with $6.55 million. That's a joke because and you got to understand the Braves always come in low. That's just the nature of the beast there because they have such a good minor league organization, always have been, going back to John Schierholz and now Frank Wren, whose son's actually a member of the minor league Braves system now. But Kimbrell asked for $9 million. I thought that was, that was a good number. I mean, he's worth more than that, but not the way baseball works. And so they're giving him a deal through 2017. That's all we know. It includes an option for 18. I'm going to tell you what that deal is. It's a four-year deal, and I'm going to guess right now that that deal is probably $55 million. I'd say it's $55 million with an option for $15 more million in 2018. Closers generally don't make as much as starters. The best starters in baseball now, I mean, if you look, don't look at Clayton Kershaw, look at Timmy Lincecum, look at Matt Cain, look at some of the other starting pitchers around. They make between $15 and $20 million, $22 million, the top 10 to 12. You know, Clayton Kershaw is a freak. I mean, he's going to make more than everybody else anyway. But I would say that a closer making 10 to 12 is a good number. I'm going to give Kimbrell a little more than that for 4 years because he's the best. He's the best right-hander in baseball, in my opinion. That's my opinion. It's the name of my show, too. So tough it out, people. I know what I'm talking about when I talk about baseball. When Bruce Bochy comes on at 11:15 Eastern time today on my show, I'll ask him, hey, would you like to have Craig Kimbrell? And if you did, what would you pay him? And I can guarantee you, Boach will say,
no comment.
Hell yeah, I'd like to have him. And I'd pay him whatever the hell he wanted if Sabian would pay it to him. Anyway, I'm Bruce.
Maybe we'll make the deal on the show today.
Don't sign that paper yet.
You know what? I just want to know that he got 4 million. I want to know he got 4 years, 55. Million. It might be 60. They might have gone to 15 a year for 4 years. And what that does is that opens up everybody else's negotiation numbers. When you look at the best teams in baseball, the best closers. Now, I'll say this. Now, my show doesn't go out in San Francisco unless it's on the internet right now. So Sergio Romo isn't listening to this. listening to this show. But Sergio Romo knows because he has an agent. I don't even know if Sergio has an agent, but if he has an agent, his agent's telling him, hey, you just signed for $3.5 million for 2 years. Kimbrell just signed for 15 a year. So I think what we're going to do is try to redo your contract with the Giants. And Sabian, anytime this happens, when a guy gets that big number, every general manager in baseball takes a deep breath and goes and looks for their vodka because they need a stiff drink immediately. I'm Bruce Hall, and I haven't had a drink in 29 years plus. It'll be 30 years Labor Day in September. But I might be tempted to look for one if I was a general manager and saw that number.
I got some non-alcoholic wine upstairs if you need it.
Hey, what Frank Wren said, the general manager of the Braves, and there's a lot of Braves people that listen to our show because there's so many Braves fans everywhere. You know, the Braves got big when TBS in Atlanta turned the Braves into America's team. They really did, because it was all about cable TV. It was all about cable TV. It was all about watching them everywhere. The Yankees are similar. You got Yes Network with the Yankees, you know, but it costs money. TBS didn't really cost any money. TBS, when the Braves were...
That's also 20 years before Yes Network.
but listen to what I'm telling you. That huge network that Turner, Ted Turner made, that he built, is still, it still bets CNN. That's Turner News, TNT.
He built it on Gilligan's Island reruns.
He tried to drink all of his profits, and he found out that because he couldn't drink enough liquor to go through his profits. It's not like other drugs where you can almost go through it all.
You just got to buy a more expensive liquor.
Hey, by the way, I saw Dallas Buyers Club last night.
I have that.
That is one of the greatest. That is a great movie.
I haven't seen it yet. No. Don't tell me.
No, I'm not going to tell you, but Matthew McConaughey, in my opinion, should win an Academy Award for that movie. Matthew McConaughey, I watch him on True Detective now.
Yeah, I remember him from
Dazed
and Confused.
That is one of the most incredible shows on TV.
My partner's sister is the producer of that show.
Well, you tell her that I want to get...
Everybody's talking about it now.
Well,
I heard about it a couple months ago.
If your partner's sister is a producer, we're going to become friends, okay. Me and her. I think I know your partner because I know him from baseball stuff way back. He's good friends with my brother-in-law, Jake. It's a small world. All you have to do is open your mouth up and find out. But Matthew McConaughey, you know, almost every movie he's ever done, even U-571, that U-boat thing that goes way back 15, 20 years, he's a great actor. What's amazing about what he's doing now is he's taking it to another level. I mean, he's like in that movie. I mean, I'm not ruining it for you, but you know, I don't think I'll ruin it for you telling you that he had full blown AIDS and he lived another 8 years. But it's all about what he did along the way, and he was an amazing person. And it's a true story.
He'll never be able to outdo Dazed and Confused to me.
Well, see, I've
one of the greatest cinematic
masterpieces
of all time.
Seen Dazed and
You've
Confused.
Never seen Dazed. All right,
no,
I'm
going
to have to tell
it.
My wife that she has to stay out for another 2 hours after the show. We're going to sit down. We're going to watch Dazed and Confused. All right, now that's a question for Twitter. Hashtag BH Sports. Convince Bruce Hall that he needs to watch Dazed and Confused.
You know, it's hard to believe. You know what my problem is, Matt? I watch too many movies over and over and over.
That's
and
Dazed
over
and Confused.
And over again.
Dazed and Confused will be one of those movies that you watch once a year.
Well, no, but that's not over and over again. I watch all of the Bourne flicks. Like, if I go on show, you know, like...
That
I
explains your personality.
I got to tell you something. Oh, let me tell
you. Is that how
you
amp up for the show? You just watch the magazine fights?
I think the Jason Bourne movies are some of the best movies that were ever done. I really do. I mean, that's just me. So anyway, we were talking about Craig Kimbrell.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a big... But think about this for a second. The fact that they did not re-sign Brian McCann, the catcher for the Atlanta Braves, the fact that they didn't re-sign him gave them the money to spend on Kimbrell. Who would you rather have, McCann or Kimbrell? Well, I can tell you right now, if you listen to this show, you know I'm not a fan of McCann's. I just don't think he's that good anymore. I think that he beat up his body terribly. I think the Yankees, he'll do okay in New York. I'll tell you what, if he stays healthy, he should be fine. But he's not. Well, New York fans aren't used to anybody coming there and tearing it up. They don't. I mean, New York is where everybody goes and collects money, in my opinion. When was the last time New York won a World Series? Thank you. The Yankees, at least. There's a chance the Mets may get to the playoffs. Well, that's not true. I think the Yankees have a good shot at the playoffs this year. I just don't know if they'll have the starting pitching. Depends on Tanaka. God, they signed this kid for all that money, and he's going to be a number three? I don't know. I mean, I've seen the guy pitch. He has got the slider from hell. He's also got he's got another pitch. It reminds me of the pitch that Matsusaka had from the Boston Red Sox. You know, it was kind of a slurve almost. But his stuff goes straight down. And if he's got a 95, 96 mile an hour fastball, he's going to be really hard to hit. They're just going to need to make sure. Oh, and CC Sabathia showed up, Matt. He showed up and he'd lost like 40 pounds. He looks like Matthew McConaughey in Dallas Buyers Club. No, he doesn't look that bad, but he looks pretty bad.
That would be some news there.
It wouldn't be good. We know that. Couple of different things happening out in the world. And by the way, today is the day that many teams are putting everybody on the field in Major League Baseball. And I'm excited about it. And we're going to have Bruce Bochy on at 11:15 Eastern time. And we're going to talk about the Giants. We're going to talk a little bit about the National League West. I'm going to be breaking down in the next segment. I'll be breaking down the Yankees division, the American League East, and talking a little bit about them, the Orioles, and the Red Sox, and see if we can't come to some kind of a early conclusion as to who's going to win that. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're talking Dazed and Confused on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I can't believe you haven't seen that movie.
No, I haven't. I haven't seen it. There are so many movies I haven't seen, but I've seen a lot of movies. You know, the thing that kills me about our kids is our kids haven't seen some of the greatest movies of all time. Because some of the best movies ever were 75 to, like, 85.
It's a lot easier now, though, with Netflix and all those, you know, streaming. No, before, to be a movie buff, to be a movie buff before, you had to go to all those seedy little video stores in the other side of the town to find the classics that also had half the section was roped off and had a curtain. You'd have guys with wiry mustaches walking out of them. Now all you have to do is sit in front of a computer screen. You can see, you know, pristine quality copies of classic movies.
Yeah. Hey, listen, real quick, AJ Burnett, for those of you who don't, talking baseball again, we're bouncing around pretty good this morning, but AJ Burnett was one of those free agent pitchers that lasted to the last four or five guys. Mm-hmm. He just signed, are you ready for this? If you don't know, $16 million 1 year with the Philadelphia Phillies. And I got to tell you now, A.J. Burnett last year with the Pirates had a great year. He was 10-11. He had a 3.30 ERA in 30 starts with the Pirates. $16 million is not – and he's not a spring chicken. I want to say Burnett's – he's got to be 34, 35 years old. I mean, he's not a spring chicken. The Mets, however, lost 89 games last year, which is very not untypical of the Phillies. I'm sorry, did I say the Mets? I meant the Phillies. And here's the other thing about the Phillies. They have a lot of guys on that team that are well into their 30s that have been injured. So they're either going to do it this year or they're not going to do it. I don't really understand. I know they've got a lot of money. I mean, you got guys like, You got Hamels, who's coming off surgery. You got Cliff Lee, who is arguably one of the toughest guys in the world during a playoff run. And he had a good year last year, too. But they got Ryan Howard, who broke his ankle at second base 2 years ago and has still not recovered from that. Chase Utley, who tore a knee up, and he is just coming back. Jimmy Rollins is 38 years old and is playing shortstop for this team. Final 14 starts, Kyle Kendrick is one of their starters. They're going to be starting. Their number five is going to be a guy named Miguel Gonzalez, who's a rookie, basically. Roberto Hernandez. I mean, I don't see any way that the Phillies, no matter how much money they spend, are going to be able to compete in the National League East Division. Because you've got the Washington Nationals, who laid an egg last year, but they have come back and made a couple of great signings on their pitching staff. They may have the best pitching staff in baseball, them and the Los Angeles Dodgers, who have spent a ton of money. Nationals, I think, are at about $140 million. The Dodgers are well over $200 million. The Dodgers are well over $200 million. And, you know, they just signed, the largest pitching contract in the history of Major League Baseball. Now, they've got the money, and they're going to need to spend some money because they've got to compete with a couple of good teams. They've got to compete with the San Francisco Giants, and they've got to compete with the Arizona Diamondbacks. You know, those two teams are going to be over 500 this year. The Dodgers are going to have to win 95 games, in my opinion, to win the National League West. I looked at the Giants because, you know, I'm going to be talking to Bruce Bochy at the turn of the hour at 11:15, second segment on the turn of the hour. And I looked at their schedule. Their first 21 games are division games. That could make or break the Giants right off the get-go. They've got to go, you know, 13-8 to even have a shot at being in first place after 21 games. And they're all division games. And now when you go to Colorado, you're going to still be an underdog unless your ace is pitching. When you go to the Dodgers, you're going to be an underdog. You know, unless your ace is pitching. And if your ace is facing the Dodgers ace, you're still going to be an underdog. There's a chance the Giants could be 8-13 and be happy after 21 games. They also go on all teams go on a pretty long road trip from time to time. They don't try to go on longer road trips than a week, a little over a week, like 8 games, but they do. They'll go 3-3-2 or 3-3-3, and they'll play 9, 10, 11, 12 games in a row on the road. You have, if you're going to compete, you have to go 500 on the road. Your best teams in Major League Baseball always seem, in my opinion, to have a positive road record, meaning that they've won more games than they've lost. You need to win, obviously, more games at home. That was the Giants' problem last year. The Giants' problem last year was until, you know, the three-quarter turn and during the season, they were losing as many games at home as they were on the road. You know, they were playing decent on the road, but they weren't playing good at all at home. And hopefully this year they'll work that out because they fill that ballpark up every night. It's not like football. In football, look at Seattle with their 12th man. You can make a big difference in a football game as a fan. You can make a ton of noise. You can make a ton of noise every time the opposing quarterback gets over center and he can't. No one can hear the snap count. Well, in baseball, it doesn't matter. You're watching a baseball. The crowd noise is not going to bother you at all. Not even a little bit. As a matter of fact, you could put earplugs in your ears and nobody would care in baseball, you know, because you don't need to hear. You can be deaf. You can be a great baseball player if you're deaf. You could be. Would you have an advantage not being deaf than being deaf? Probably. There's no doubt about that. But I don't think it would be that big of a difference. In football, it would be a huge difference if you couldn't hear snap count, if you couldn't hear changes in the call on defense, you know, because you can't run over and touch somebody. Peyton Manning found out in the Super Bowl this year just how important bringing all those fans from Seattle was. They snapped the first snap offensively for Denver, goes through the end zone. He walks to the sidelines, tells John Fox, "We got to go silent count. I can't hear anything." Hey, game was over pretty much. I mean, the game was not over, but it was pretty damn over in the second quarter.
More people would argue that the game was over as soon as the national anthem was sung.
Yeah, and it was sung in a hurry. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Let me go through that Philadelphia pitching rotation. Cliff Lee is their ace. Cole Hamels is their two. Looks like A.J. Burnett fits nicely into that three spot. Kyle Kendrick is not a good four. He's average, if he's even average. And I don't even know enough about Miguel Gonzalez, unless it's the Miguel Gonzalez that played in Baltimore, which it may very well be. Sounds like a young, hard-throwing right-hander from an island to me. But he's their five. generally speaking, if you're going to be competitive, your five better be making $10 million a year or be very, very good, you know, first, second, third year player. I just don't see it happening with Philadelphia. I really don't. If you look at the Nationals, I don't think Steven Strasburg is even their ace. I really don't. I really like Jordan Zimmerman. Jordan Zimmerman is good. I mean, Washington, Gio Gonzalez, they've got three guys that are basically, you could take any one of their top three guys and put them 1, 2, 3, and they'd be fine. You know, they got Doug, you know, they got Doug Fister from Detroit, you know, 6'8", great kid, you know, good pitcher. He's going to be tough. He's going to be real tough this year. They're going to be extremely hard to beat. They just have to mature with the bats. They got to get a better, you know, the Nationals have to get a better year out of Adam LaRoche, who may be playing his last season with the Washington Nationals. And I love Adam because he's a Gold Glove first baseman. When you're a Gold Glove first baseman, he picks a lot of those balls that bounce into first base from Ryan Zimmerman's throwing arm out of the dirt, one hoppers, two hoppers, three hoppers. Doesn't matter. The guy's phenomenal. Even a grass field in the major leagues is like playing on cement. They all take very true bounces. As a matter of fact, those fields are so hard. When you talk to umpires and coaches that have been coaching and playing on really hard fields like that, they tell you how bad their knees and hips feel after a game. It's not like a high school field that might get a lot of rain and not drain. All the fields in the major leagues drain so well, they just end up almost rock hard within hours.
Need to get them some moon shoes.
Well, they do. And you know what? That's why the outfielders have to be so damn fast, because when a ball gets to the alley, it hits once and it's gone if it's hit hard. But it's going to be an interesting year in the East. I'm sitting here looking at They signed a guy named Lobaton to be the backup. The Nats did. Backup catcher. And this kid's supposed to be pretty damn good. I think I saw him play once. It might have even been in a futures game. But, you know, you sit and look at the Nationals' schedule, and, you know, they open up literally with 15 games in a row against division opponents. Then they travel, they go play the Cardinals. They go all the way out west, play the Angels. I mean, and then they, well, actually, they're back home against the Angels. They play the Padres at home. They've got, the Nationals have an 11-game home homestand in April, and they play 6 of their first 8 games at home. So the Nationals are going to know after April whether they got a chance or not before the All-Star break, because if the Nationals don't win 60% of those games minimum, they're going to be hurting, because you're not going to go on the road and win that many games. I just don't see it happening. You know, I really don't. I can't wait to talk about the Mets. We're going to talk about the Mets in between Boach's interview. And we're going to also have the last segment of the show, we're going to have Tony Mazur call in and tell us about that mess in Cleveland with their football team. They fired their general manager. Well, they had two general managers. They fired them both and hired another guy. And it's going to be interesting to hear what Tony has to say. Tony just, you know, living in Cleveland is unbelievable. He asked me, I told him this week, I said, I'm going to the Combine next week. As a matter of fact, I may be doing my show from the Combine next week. And that's going to be fun. I've got my credentials. I'm going in, and I'm going to spend some time there with some scouts that I know, with some general managers and assistant GMs that I know. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS, and we will have Bruce Bochy on at 11:15. Don't forget.
Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Well, you know what? I just couldn't do it, man. I had to talk Mets. I'm so excited about the New York Mets this year. And it's not just because the show goes out of Westchester. Well, okay, it's a little bit because the show goes out of Westchester. But I just, you know, anytime I turn around on a general manager like I did Sandy Alderson, it's just so nice to see them spending money for a change. And I know they can't spend the kind of money that the Yankees do because they don't have the money that the Yankees do. Although their owner probably does, but he's not going to spend it. I'm looking right now at their roster. They got Bartolo Colon, by the way, showed up spring training yesterday. And they say he doesn't look terrible. But this is a guy that's 5'11", 265. He was born while I was still in college. So that means he's an old guy. Okay, he's not a youngster. He's gonna be He's gonna be 41 in May. Okay, but he had a great year. You know, he's a juicer. He's been caught at least once that I know of. I think maybe twice, which means he's probably juiced several times. You know, in the past. Hopefully, he's learned his lesson. Hopefully, he's got enough muscle still in his body to be competitive. And I think he does. You know, this is one of those guys that doesn't do anything spectacular. He just goes out and throws strikes, and he moves the ball around. And he knows how to pitch. He's 5'11", 265. I'm guessing he showed up at about 280. He'll lose 15 to 20 pounds probably over the course of spring training. And he'll end up probably around that 260, 265 number. He looks like Jabba the Hutt, if you're a big fan of that. He's, I mean, he's just, his neck just
who's
seems
a fan
to.
Of that?
Yeah, I know. The, what was Jabba the Hutt from? Wasn't that?
Star Wars.
Yeah. I mean, well, everybody's a fan of Star Wars.
I thought you were like, you know, everybody has their own little fetish or something. If you're a fan of people who look like Jabba the Hutt.
This guy looks like Jabba the Hutt, trust me. That's how people look in their coffins at funerals sometimes. No, they just do. They don't look like themselves. It's like their neck just looks a lot bigger. But that's what Bartolo looks like. They've also got Dylan G. Now, let me tell you something about Dylan. I like this kid. He's a young kid. He's only 26 years old, 27. He's had three good years in a row. He did a good job last year, in my opinion. He beat the Nationals at least twice because I think I saw both of them. You know, you got Matt Harvey coming back from surgery. They don't know really when Harvey's going to be available. He had Tommy John last year, you know, during the year. So he's probably not going to be back for a while. Jonathan Neese, good pitcher, same age as Dylan. He's going to be good. He's a lefty. He's a big, tall kid. Ball comes in out of nowhere. Bobby Parnell is a stud out of the bullpen. I like Bobby Parnell, 6'4", 200. He's been around. He's going to be the guy, in my opinion, you know, that's going to be closing for them again. These guys played some. Zach Wheeler, the guy that they got in the Carlos Beltran trade, back in 2002, 2000. See, the Giants won. No, not 2002. What am I talking about? 2011 is when that was. Zach Wheeler came from the Giants. He was their number one prospect in their organization. Trust me, I'm not going to ask Bruce Bochy this when he comes on here in 7 minutes. By the way, but. You know, he'd love to have Zach Wheeler back because Zach Wheeler would be their four or five probably this year. He's the guy that they need. But hopefully Ryan Vogelsong is going to be that guy. They've got a couple of guys. Travis Darnaud, Darnaud or whatever you want to call him. There's a million different ways to to pronounce that name. He's going to be their guy of the future. Anthony Recker can play. He's going to be tough. It's going to be between those two guys in spring training to battle it out. Both right-handed hitters. Centeno is young. He's younger than my son. 2 days younger. Well, actually, a week younger than my son. 24 years old. I don't know. I mean, it's going to be – they're going to – no matter who is behind the dish, it's going to be not one of their stronger spots, in my opinion, this year. Infielder-wise, they got to figure out what they're going to do. Daniel Murphy is probably penciled in to play second base. He's going to be – you know, Daniel Murphy can hit. There's no question about it. And he's a decent fielder. Ruben Tejada can't hit. They've been having problems with him. He's young, though. You know, born in 1989. David Wright's back from injury. He's going to be the guy in the batting order. Everything's going to revolve around him. Ike Davis, who knows? It depends on which Ike Davis we see. Is it going to be the Ike Davis that couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat for 3 months last summer? Or is it going to be the Ike Davis that put together a pretty good hitting streak or two last year? You just don't know. You know, you really don't know. Wilfredo Tovar, this is a very young kid, probably won't make the team as a starting infielder. Wilmer Flores, like I said, I mean, not, you know, if there's anywhere that the Mets can get some help, it's in the infield. There's no doubt about it. But I don't see that happening and them keeping their number under $140 million. Lucas Duda is a guy that's going to be battling for a spot in the outfield. Curtis Granderson is going to play left field. I would say that Juan Lagares is going to play center field. He's a stud. Nieuwenhuis may be a guy there. Chris Young is there competing for a spot. He was picked up in the offseason. I mean, anything can happen to these guys. I happen to like the Mets. If you look at their schedule for the season, it's a pretty interesting schedule. You know, they start out playing the Marlins at home on a Saturday. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. Starting the regular season, they're home against the Nationals. They got a two-game. Then they got the Reds coming in. You know, they need to win three of those games to put them out, because then they go on an eight-game road trip. They go to Atlanta to play the Braves. You know, if they could win one game there, that would probably be okay. They play the Angels in Anaheim. They travel all the way cross-country to play an Angels team that's supposed to be a lot better than they were last year. At least Jerry DePoto, their general manager, hopes so, because if not, he's going to be out of a job. And then they play the Diamondbacks, who are going to be better than they were last year. They are tough. I mean, they are tough. And if they end up, you know, going on this road trip and getting hammered, they're going to come back with a losing record right before a 10-game homestand. They got the Braves, the Cardinals, and the Marlins at home. I'm going to try to make it up there to do the show twice, between the 20th and the 27th of April. I think that would be a great time to be up there just to see these guys. Because I think the Mets, this is not a rebuilding year for them. This is a year where they will have the opportunity with their pitching staff to win some games, in my opinion. That's just me. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. We'll be back in a few minutes with Bruce Bochy of the San Francisco Giants.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to brucehallsports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're on the phone with manager of the San Francisco Giants, Bruce Bochy. Boch, how you doing today?
Bruce, I'm doing great. Doing great. Getting ready to start a workout here soon at 10 o'clock.
To
be back to spring training.
You had 70 players there yesterday, I read. I didn't realize they'd all be there that early, but I guess they couldn't wait to get in, huh?
Well, we didn't have all 70 at the same time. We had some position players that came in early and got a quick workout. It was just pitchers and catchers tomorrow. So we had about 40 on the field on the organized workout. But most of them are here now, and that's the way it's kind of been the last few years. Guys like to get here early and kind of get acclimated before you crank it up.
Well, they're having fun, I know, and it won't be long. I'll be out there too, and I really appreciate you coming on the show today. I know how busy you are, and I'm always that pain in the rear end that is constantly talking to you. Listen, let's talk about the keys to the to you guys coming back this year, and hopefully bringing that third ring to all the players from San Francisco this year. Buster Posey, is he healthy?
Everybody's healthy, including Buster. That's why. We feel good about where we're at right now, and every club, you know, they're going to be excited about, you know, where they're at. It's a new slate. You got a new season ahead of you, and every club, should pretty much be healthy. And for us, to have Buster healthy, which he was last year. I think he just showed, a little fatigue there at times. But Pagan, Scudero, right now, we're 100%, and Pablo came in, Sandoval, I'm talking about, he lost a lot of weight, and that's always the key for a club, to stay healthy, and if your guys have the type of year they're capable of having, then, you figure you're going to have a good year, but when you have to deal with the injuries, and that's when you got to, scramble and hopefully find a way to get it done.
Well, you know what? You never make excuses, and good teams don't. But it was devastating when Pagan went down after that inside the park home run and was pretty much out almost the rest of the season. And then Scudero broke that pinky finger. I remember when he did that. I mean, it hurt me to watch that on TV because I've done that the same thing before, and it's really hard. I know he had surgery, at least one on him. But you say he's 100% now. That's good if he is.
Yeah, the pinky, they put a pin in there. They took it out, so he's good to go with that. And Angel Pagan, he's had time to actually play in September. I thought that was important for him to show that the knee is healthy. And I will say, it's going to sound like an excuse, but I thought we would miss him a little bit, but we missed him a lot more than I can imagine when he went down, because you're going to have injuries, but you got to deal with them. And I go back to any kind of injuries or incidents of Melky Cabrera. When we lost him, we got better as a club, and that's what has to happen. Well, that didn't happen. And that's our fault. And the fact that Pagan went down, that, we didn't pick it up and, have the rest of the guys elevate their play a little bit. It just didn't happen for us.
You know, you picked up a couple of guys that I'm pretty familiar with. An old sweet mate of mine, Hal Baird, coached Tim Hudson, I think. If he didn't, he was the assistant AD at Auburn when Tim was there. I got to watch him play when he was in Atlanta. I always liked the guy because he could hit a little bit. And I just saw him interviewed on, earlier today. Tell me about Timmy Hudson. Tell the people about him and what you're expecting him to do this year.
Well, a professional that's had a tremendous career, and his arm, there's no issue with it. He hurt his ankle when he's covering first last year. Now he's got a great sinker, change up, split, competes as well as anybody. I like the intangibles that go with Tim, and the fact that I think he's going to help our other guys. But he's a pro, and he's a winner. He's always won, and he fits our need very well. And the fact that we need another frontline starter, and we wanted somebody with veteran presence that knows how to win. And he's going to be great in his clubhouse. And what you like about Timmy too is he handles all the little peripherals well. I'm talking about home runners, filling his position, and handles the bat. And so these things are things that can't get contagious with the other club.
Now you've got Bruce. You've got one of the best starting lineups there is, especially if Ryan Vogelsong is healthy. How's Ryan looked? Does Ryan look okay so far?
Ryan looks great. He's lost some weight and took the bullpen, and I think he made some adjustments. Well, I don't think I know he did, and he's very comfortable where he's at right now. And we're all going to have hiccups. You know, it could be for a year, you know, and whether the WBC played a part in, you know, his struggles, we don't know. But I will say that he's fresh and ready to go.
Well, that's great. Now, you've got Madison Bumgarner. I mean, Matt Cain, you know, historically, and Timmy, and you could put in any one of those three guys and call them your ace. But Bum has been unbelievable since he came up. Obviously, you know, Timmy, in my opinion, pitched real well towards the end of last season. And if you look at Timmy's numbers, I mean, he had some pretty good numbers, didn't he?
He did. Actually, his numbers are indicative of how he threw. You know, it seems like every year you have a starter that just has the worst luck, horrible luck. And luck is a part of the game. And when I'm talking about, you know, eight hopper get through the infield or maybe a call out there. Or when you come out of the game, your reliever gives up, cashes in your runs. Well, he was our guy last year. Every time I pulled him, you know, we let his runs in. And so, you know, that inflated his ERA. But he just made a great adjustment, I think, in reinventing himself and becoming more of a pitcher. And so that growth will hopefully continue this spring and this season because he's come to realize that, you know, he's not going to power his way through hitters anymore. He's got to pitch and pitch sometimes to their weaknesses instead of just letting it go, and that's what he's doing now.
You know, the thing I love about watching your – looking at your roster and watching your staff is you don't make a lot – you know, you're a veteran guy, not only as a player but as a coach. I mean – you've got so many wins, it's ridiculous, and you just keep on bringing them in every year. But this year, you made one other change. You went out and got a left fielder named Michael Morse, who I was lucky enough to see for a couple, 3 years in Washington. When the guy is healthy and when the guy is rolling, he's almost impossible to get out. Tell everybody what you think about Mike Morse.
Well, I couldn't have been more excited about getting a player as I was getting Michael Morse. I mean, watching him from the other side when he was with Washington, just a tremendous presence and power, something that we were lacking last year is power. And, he could be a shot in the arm for us like Pat Burrell was in 2010. I did get a chance to watch and get to know Michael when we went to Taiwan 3 years ago. He made that trip with me. And, so when he became available, I was really behind trying to get him signed, and, you know, it just worked out perfect for us because it was a need for us. We needed a left fielder. We needed a right-handed bat. And we were looking for power. Well, he fits that perfectly. And so, you know, to have a guy like this who can drive in runs and maybe take a little pressure off, you know, Posey or Sandoval or Pence, I thought was a huge sign for us.
Yeah, no, I think you're going to like him, and I think he's your kind of guy. Plus, he's a guy that can actually look you in the eye. I think you guys are about the same height.
Yeah, he's a little taller, man. They call him the Beast, and you see why when you see him, man. He is huge. And he got up to a great start last year. He hit a ton of home runs, I think 13 in the first month there for Seattle. Then he hurt his wrist, and he had surgery, so he corrected that. So he's good to go, and I look forward to having him in the lineup.
Yeah, Hunter Pence had a phenomenal year last year. Of course, he made the All-Star team. But, you know, tell me I'm wrong here. I'm watching you guys play a game. He runs into the center field wall so hard that I figure he's unconscious. Not only does he sit there and stand up, I don't think he came out of the game, did he?
No, he didn't come out of the game. But what he made the manager do is I had to jog all the way out to the right center in Colorado in that light air. You know, it's a mile high there. And that was our first day, so I had yet to get acclimated to the light air. And so I had to jog all the way out there. And by the time I got there, you know, these legs don't work. I'm an old catcher. So I get there, he starts to get up. I said, no, you stay down there. Your manager needs a break right now. So, but he got up, and I played every game last year, almost every inning. And, you know, he's an incredible athlete, but he's one of those wiry, strong guys that is tireless. And, he's really sets an example of getting yourself up every day and playing the game the way it should be. And that's hard every day. I mean, he hits a two-hopper to short. He goes down the line just like if it was a little dribbler where you smell a base hit.
You know, he's the kind of guy that grows on you, because when I first met him, when I was out at spring training, he's a little different. You know, he's almost a little goofy, but the more you get to know the guy, that's just the way he is. And I want to tell you, when he hit that wall, he went on a tear offensively that was like probably the best offensive tear anybody had last year, didn't he?
Well, he's got that ability to carry a club. Yeah, when those good hitters get those streaks and they see the ball well, he's a lot stronger than people think. He's a lot bigger than people think. He's got a huge back on him, but he's probably 6'3" and has as much power as anybody on our club. At batting practice, he just launches them. But you know, he's one of those guys. He's all out in anything he does. We nicknamed him Full Throttle, because whether he's swinging a bat or running down a ball or whatever it is, he's all out. And he's the type of player that any manager would love, because he's an old school guy that gives you everything he's got every day.
I tell you what, yeah, I know you feel this way. You're lucky to have him, and you did extend him, which is really good. Sergio Romo, he's re-signed, right? He's in good shape. Is he going to probably be your closer again?
Sergio's set to go as a closer. He's healthy. I think he's got a year of experience. He probably needed a break as much as anybody, because he pitched at WBC last year. Then he pitched in the season. He's good to go. He's a guy that locates the ball, good sliders, come out with a good changeup, and he's got what you like out there in your closer, and that's that mental toughness.
Boach, let me ask you a question. You re-signed Javi Lopez, who ended up, he's a local kid from Robinson High School here in Fairfax, Virginia, near where I actually live. I was so glad to see you signed him. It looked like he might go somewhere else, maybe even Atlanta or Washington, I think. But you got him signed, so you got your lefty out of the bullpen. Casilla, it looked like he was having some problems getting back in the country, but I'm sure you'll have him again. You re-signed Jeremy Affeldt. He's back, correct?
Yeah, Jeremy's back. He was on a multi-year contract. Javi was an important sign for us, I thought, being a free agent. We didn't know if we would be able to get him back, but he's kind of the glue in our bullpen. He's the calming influence. He's the guy that, there's a big out with the left-hand hitter out there. He's a guy that I call on. He's done such a great job for us. And, I really think we have two rings on our finger because of Javi Lopez and the huge outs he's gotten, not just during the regular season, but the postseason.
He just seems to have that presence when he goes out there. He's a tough kid. Yeah. There's one guy that I've always been interested in. I saw him pitch in Richmond a little bit, and I saw him pitch, in Vegas when I was there watching your Triple-A team play. Heath Hembree, you think he's got a shot at making the team this year? You think he could be a seventh or eighth inning guy for you?
Well, he did a nice job last year when we called him up, so he's a front runner to be on this club, and he would give us a power-type arm somewhere in the middle there in the bullpen, and we just hope that he carries that confidence and that stuff into this spring and makes our ball club. But it's going to be competitive here. I mean, we have a lot of pitchers, and the last two spots in this bullpen, it's going to be a tough call, and it probably will go down to the last week before we make that call.
Well, listen, you know who I'm rooting for. I'm rooting for a kid named Bochy, who's probably 25 years old now and did a great job when he was in Fresno last year. And, of course, he did a great job in Richmond. His whip's been under one ever since I can remember. And I'm pulling for Brett, Bruce. Is he doing good? Is he ready for spring training?
He's doing well. He's here. He's healthy, throwing the ball well. Had a good year last year. So he's one of those guys that's compete for that spot. And, it's always I think a little more difficult, or you feel a little more pressure when your son's involved. But I tell you, it's great to have him in camp and have a just a chance to see your son every day and watch him compete, and he's worked his tail off. I'm proud of him.
Hey, listen, Bruce, I can't thank you enough. I'm going to let you go out to the field now because I know how important first day is. Listen, I'll see you. I'll see you in about a month. Okay, buddy.
All right, Bruce. Thanks.
Take care of yourself. Bruce Bochy of the two-time world champion San Francisco Giants in the last 4 years, and hopefully it's an even year, so hopefully this year Boch will be back and he'll get his third ring. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I'm back. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. Love those live reads coming out of the top of an hour. And I love reading about the National Association of Realtors, my biggest sponsor and my most undying. I'm a realtor. You know that. I'm a broker. I'm not only a real estate salesperson, I'm a real estate broker. Have been since the late 80s. And hey, you know what? If you're going to sell a piece of property, you might as well have your name put on the check. So it's a lot of hours, but, you know, getting your realtor's license in real estate business. And, you know, we talked about that before. In a lot of countries, there are no laws about buying and selling real estate. So sometimes you get people they'll go out and buy a house or buy some property and think they've got a deed. And next thing they know, they ain't got nothing. And they don't have their money either because it's all gone. We were talking about the Mets before. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing the Mets play this year. I think the Mets could very easily win more games than they lose this year. I really do. I think Bobby Parnell gives them a great closer. I think that, you know, if they can get one, they really need one more starter. I was kind of hoping that the Mets might be in the bidding for one of these last, you know, like A.J. Burnett. I could have seen him being a Met. I mean, you know, if he had a 3.30 earned run average with the New York Mets, he'd win 15 to 18 games, in my opinion. I think the Mets are going to be able to hit. I think they have a really good farm system. I think they have some guys in AA and AAA that can, you know, they know how to get to first base. They know how to score runs. They play good defense. You know, I just think that everybody, it's just all hasn't come to fruition yet. The Yankees, on the other hand, are a little bit of a different story. The Yankees have money to spend. Now, they were trying to stay under that $180 million number, and who knows if they're going to stay there. I don't know, because I don't think they're done spending money. When you have as much money as Brian Cashman has available to him, you know, that luxury tax isn't that big of a deal because they make so much money off of their cable television networks and local New York stuff pays a ton of money. I the Braves are in that division. I'm talking about the Mets now. You go back, I was talking about the National League East. The Braves are in that division. The Braves are going to win at least 90 games. The Nats should win at least 90 games. So it may not leave that many games for the Mets to win. I am going to take a peek right now at some of the players on the New York Yankees that they've made deals with. And
all right, well, I don't know anything about baseball, but well, I will say I know the news of who's the guy who's retiring this year
with the Yankees.
Yeah, with the Yankees.
Oh, Derek Jeter.
Does
Oh, you think it's a big deal?
Emotionally, does that factor into this season? They haven't been to the big game in a while.
Yeah, you know, and that's a good point, Matt. And I'm going to tell you why that's a good point. It's a good point because it wears you down. It wears everybody down because one of the questions can be asked of every single guy in that locker room every game, after every practice is, so what's it going to feel like knowing that this is the captain's last year?
Well, it's,
and that's
so it's,
why
it's,
they don't even like to retire. You know what? If I ever retired, and I thought Jeter might do this, but I think Jeter wants that. In other words, his fans need to know, because Derek Jeter doesn't, they don't wear Jeter jerseys. That's pretty hard to say. They don't wear Jeter jerseys in just New York.
Oh, yeah.
They wear them all over the country because Derek Jeter is the face of Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. And if you don't think Derek Jeter is the face, the good face, might not be the only face. I mean, there are some faces
depends
that
on
are
the news stories.
Yeah, it depends on who's giving the news story too. But it depends on TMZ or whatever.
Yeah.
But the good face of Major League Baseball, and thank God it is his face and not Bud Selig's face, because Bud Selig has one ugly face and one ugly haircut. And Bud, I can say that because you make way too much money, and I don't think you have anything over thousands of people in this country. Yeah, I really don't. You know, however you got where you are, good for you, but you've never been a commissioner of baseball, in my opinion, and you've dropped the ball more often than you've carried it. But Derek Jeter,
there's no Brett Favre factor of, you know, everybody's going to be
Jeet?
Yeah, with him, you know, it's
last year
we need to get him to the Super Bowl.
That's not
going to factor into it at all.
No,
this season?
I don't think so, because let me tell you, the Yankee, look, if you're not motivated enough to win every game you play, if you're a New York Yankee playing in Yankee Stadium, you know what? You, there's no hope for you anyway. No, I think the Yankees have a shot this year. And I'll tell you, I don't know if Derek's going to be healthy. You know, he's supposedly about 67. He's not going to start the first preseason game. He may not start the first game. He may be out until May. He may come back mid-May and try to play 100 games. You know, because most of the ballparks that Derek Jeter goes, first of all, he can travel with the team and not play. They may never deactivate him. They may just keep his spot on the roster available no matter what, just so maybe he can sit in the dugout. I don't even know if you can sit in the dugout in the major leagues if you're not active. I don't think you can. I think you have to, you know, be in the stands or something like that. But Derek Jeter, he's like Cal Ripken. Those are two of the you can't touch either one of those guys. They are, I don't like to use this word, and you don't care because, you know, but they are the gods of baseball. These guys are royalty. You know, they are both five-star admirals, okay? Mm. They are baseball. And they're both first, you know, Cal was a first ballot Hall of Famer, so is Derek. If somebody doesn't vote Derek Jeter on as first ballot Hall of Famer, there could be violence in that room. And by
that's
going to
be that one guy, though. You know,
well, you know, yeah, be, but if yeah. there is, can you imagine how many there's going to be places all over his body and face where people are touching him with 10-foot poles. I mean, this guy's going to be hurt. They're going to hurt him physically.
They're going to Full Metal Jacket him with a pillowcase full of baseballs.
Whatever. I'd waterboard the guy personally. I think I'd set him up for that. No, but the Yankees, it's going to be an interesting year because they've got all these guys coming in. You know, they made some good signings. They lost a couple of guys. But, I mean, if you look at their lineup, they have potential Hall of Famers that may not start. Ichiro Suzuki's like their fourth outfielder. A lot of people say, oh, Ichiro's going to start. Why? Why wouldn't you start Brett Gardner instead of Ichiro Suzuki? You know, I don't understand. I don't even understand the Ichiro situation. I don't understand why he's in New York. I would never. I guess they expect somebody to get hurt. That's the only thing I can figure, and they might be right because Carlos Beltran's middle name is DL. It's actually, you know, he actually played very healthy last year with St. Louis, and I didn't bring him up with Boach because, and there would be no reason to. I only had Boachy for one segment. I wasn't going to bore him with past deals they did wrong. But hey, if they hadn't traded for him, they would have Wheeler right now, Ryan Wheeler. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I've got one of my favorite guys in the world on the phone, Tony Mazur. Tony, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm. It's just another wonderful day in Cleveland. It looks like a snow globe outside.
Is it? Are you getting snow as we speak? Because there's evidently three storms coming from the West Coast again.
Oh, it really is a snow globe. Right? When I say that, that's no exaggeration. There's in the last probably 3 hours since I've been awake, I'd say a good maybe 5 inches of snow have fallen.
Can we hang up on him?
It's still February, though. That's okay.
I know
Tony,
Ohio,
it's okay.
I know Ohio gets it before us, and we always get a call from my brother-in-law
Cleveland. The stuff that goes through Ohio, though, doesn't always come here. It'll always hit New England.
This one
we need the stuff that's coming through St. Louis and Tennessee. Hey, Tony, let's get started real quick because you're the man today. I was listening to, I can't even remember what it was, but it was so funny. I was dying laughing. And they were rating from the bottom up, right? Number one being the worst run football organization in the NFL. And the Redskins are not number one.
We can't even
They're
win
number
it that.
Two. Cleveland was number one. Tell everybody what happened in Cleveland with the owner letting go of two guys. Just tell me what happened, because I still can't believe it happened.
Well, it kind of blindsided everybody because Cleveland teams, we have three professional teams here, and we fired two GMs within 5 days of each other. That shows, you know, the state of affairs in Cleveland sports here. But Joe Banner was the CEO, and Mike Lombardi, who, you know, goes back a ways with Al Davis and everybody in Philadelphia and all around. He got fired too, and Jimmy Haslam decided to pull the plug. And realizing that there was a big situation, now I'll tell you this much, Bruce. And I don't know if I could be breaking news here, but there is apparently our good friend Norv Turner, who took a lateral move to going to the Minnesota Vikings
right.
as the offensive coordinator, sent a letter to Jimmy Haslam saying, "In my 31 years of coaching, or whatever, however many years it was." I've never seen a more poorly run organization than the Cleveland Browns. It's like there was young talent on this team. You had a young first-year coach that you fired at the first of the pretty much as soon as the season ended. They were the first to fire, last to hire. It's as poorly run as I've ever seen anything like that. And Jimmy Haslam took a look at because during one of his press conferences, he says, "I don't want to read the paper every day and see that this is the same old Browns." Well, the problem is, it's always been the same old Browns.
Right.
The same old Browns continue to be 4-12 or 5-11. They've been that way ever since. They have the most losses in the NFL since 1999. The fact that we talk about, like I said, Al Davis, Daniel Snyder, Jerry Jones, some of these other meddling owners that are out there, doesn't even come close to the disaster that has been the Browns and. You guys know this, Bruce. You've been around. The Cleveland Browns were a phenomenal franchise in the 40s, the 50s, into the 60s. Jim Brown, Otto Graham, Paul Brown was the innovator. You go all the way into the 70s and the 80s. You have Bernie Kosar was a big guy. And all of a sudden, when they moved, everything moved. And this franchise has been an absolute joke ever since. Now, I will say, though, is it a good move to get rid of Joe Banner and Mike Lombardi? Sure, but it just does not look good nationwide.
Now you weren't a big Lombardi fan anyway, right? Because I'm not. And I gotta tell you, I have a good friend that Lombardi, you know, works with him. But I gotta, you know, with his agency. But I gotta tell you, I never liked him on NFL Network because he always kind of came off as this guy that just thought he knew everything, and he really wasn't open to much suggestion. Does that make sense to you? Now, I got to tell you, Mike Pettine, I think, is a pretty good hire. I don't think Mike Pettine isn't going to hurt you, especially go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the one problem with Mike Pettine is, much as, you know, I can get behind the hire, I'm not going to say I like it or dislike it.
Right.
He's too soon. He's a first-year coach. However, he was hired by Lombardi and Banner. The problem is Lombardi and Banner are gone, and they have a new GM. Well, how does that always work out when you hire the coach before the GM? Doesn't really work out too well in many cases. And Ray Farmer, it's not who is the GM. He came over from Kansas City,
right.
Turned down the job, and Miami to stay in Cleveland for some reason. And, I mean, I know Miami can mess with the incognito thing, but still, I think I'd rather be down there with the weather, too.
Yeah, there's a lot more golf going on there. I can tell you that right now.
Absolutely. But, I mean, Ray Farmer did not hire Mike Pettine. Now, I'm not saying that he doesn't like Mike Pettine.
Right.
But, you know, it just there could be a personality clash if he didn't hire him.
Yeah, I'm on the phone right now with Tony Mazur, Yahoo Sports, one of my favorite guys in the world, at Tony Mazur. Correct, Tony?
That's correct.
Hey, Mazur. Listen, Kyle Shanahan, you're going to be perfectly happy with him, and I'm going to tell you why. Scale of 1 to 10, he's about a 7 or an 8 anyway. With Kyle, it was all about Mike. Does that make sense to you? What we're finding out here was that Mike never gave him a break. Mike always was looking over his shoulder. Mike, the players didn't like him because he was Mike's son. Does that make sense? A lot of the players I talked to that were offensive players thought Kyle was pretty good. I listened to Cooley. If you ever want to listen to a great show from 4 to 7, go to 980, you know, Red Zebra, WTEM 980. I don't plug other shows very often. But Chris Cooley and Al Galdi have one of the best shows that you'll ever listen to about NFL, especially when Cooley's breaking down stuff. And I mean,
that was Kylie's old station, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Kylie was on 980. And I got to tell you, you know, I really didn't want to see the guy leave. But now, since we brought in Gruden, you know, he couldn't stay anyway, you know, because Gruden's going to be the guy calling the shots. They made the quarterback coach, who Gruden's known for some time, the offensive coordinator. And supposedly he's some young genius that's 28 years old, and he's this phenomenal offensive guy. Well, we'll find out, okay, how much Redskins. He gets along with Robert Griffin III, because Dan Snyder and Robert Griffin are still tight, if you understand what I'm saying.
Interesting.
So we'll see.
I got to say, when you were talking about Kyle Shanahan, a lot of people said, might take a look at is the browsing a quarterback at the fans here. I'm telling you this right now. I'd venture to say about 75 to 80% of them are completely sold on Johnny Manziel.
I hope so.
The rest of them think he's going to be Tim Tebow, but the 20% think he's Tim Tebow. The 80% think he's the savior of the franchise. And pair him up with Kyle Shanahan, that would be nice. I just don't know if Houston's going to, you know, go with the safe pick, go with Clowney, go with Bridgewater. I'm not sure where they're going to go. Maybe even if they go Sammy Watkins, pair him up on the other side with Andre Johnson. But, I mean, if you're in Cleveland, you want a guy who can bring that swagger back to the dog pound, as they say. You know, a lot of Browns fans completely sold on Johnny Manziel, and you know what? I am too.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised to see Manziel there, and I'll tell you why. There's a report out this morning, and you could probably find it on Twitter somewhere, that Manziel said yesterday that if the Houston Texans don't draft him with the first pick, that they should have their heads examined, that they're throwing away a chance to not only win a Super Bowl, but to win a Super Bowl their first season. He said that. Here's what he said.
Wow.
Here's what he said in the same press conference. In the same press conference, he said, or in the same report he said, I don't know if it was a presser or not, he said that if he didn't go there, he would be glad to go anywhere. Like Cleveland, he said, and he will win. He basically promised he would win a Super Bowl his rookie year. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. He also said, listen to this, he also said that he wasn't going to throw at the combine. Now, I'm going to the combine, and if I hear some guy running his mouth like this, what do I want to see? I want to see him throw the ball. Well, I can tell you why he's not throwing at the combine. He's not throwing at the combine because he hurt his shoulder. He's got a slight tear in his labrum, is what I'm hearing from a guy that I think knows, and he wants to let it heal. It's not bad enough that it needs surgery, but he needs to let it heal because if you remember, he landed on his shoulder like the next to the last game of the season, and he, you know, got it was the game they got crap kicked out of him, and he ended up in the their bowl game they played. You know, not looking all that great. He looked okay, but he looked like his arm was bothering him. I think he wants to rest his arm. I think he'll run. But he's not going to throw at the combine. You know what else he's going to do? He's not going to throw at senior day, at scout day. He's going to throw, he will set up, this is what he said, he will set up the visits by whatever scouts want to come, and he will throw to his receivers the routes he wants to throw. What does that sound like to you? It sounds like he's out of his freaking mind, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, he is really trying to change the NFL and the mindset. Now, a lot of people think he's going to get knocked on his rear end, and he very well could be. But what I like is the confidence, because you don't usually see that. You always hear how humble these guys are and the public relations. Well, you know, I'm just glad to be drafted. You remember Brady Quinn when he eventually fell? They all said he was going to be a top five pick, and he was like 22nd or something.
Yeah.
And you're watching him in the green room chewing gum, and it's like, wow, what's going on? And then, you know, I'm happy to be drafted. I'm happy to be a part of this whole franchise. Manziel's enjoying that. He's like, you know what? Screw you guys. I'm gonna do it my way. And how is that going to have an adverse effect? Is it going to be too abrasive when it comes to the gladiator mentality of the NFL? Who knows? I don't know. But it's refreshing to see somebody kind of go against the grain here.
Yeah, you know what? We got about a minute left. Listen, let me tell you one thing real quick, just so you know. In my opinion, Houston's going to take Clowney. They want that front three to have Clowney in it. And I think it's a smart move. I don't think they need a quarterback. They really don't. And I don't think Manziel is a savior. But I think the Browns may end up with him. I hope you do, because you're in for a ride. And if you get any opportunity to get with that guy, get with him, Tony, okay?
Absolutely.
Hey, listen, I'm going to have to let you go. But listen to me. Thanks so much for coming on the show. Thanks for sharing all that stuff with me. Good move getting rid of those guys, right?
Oh, thank God. We'll just have to set up another narrative for how bad they'll be.
Well, at least you don't need a defensive coordinator. I'll see you, Tony. Hey, we'll be back next week, everybody. You've been listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.